My Pilgrimage to Sri Ramanashramam by Eleanor Pauline Noe. In the 1930s, Eleanor Pauline Noe began her spiral descent into despair, ill health, and hopelessness. Throughout these difficult years, she clung to an inexplicable faith that in India she would be restored to her former self. In spite of ill health and depression, she embarked on a journey that brought her face to face with her Lord of Love. Upon arriving in ashrama in 1939, she was caught in the web of the Master's love, regained her health, peace of mind, and soared into the eternal expanse of freedom and joy. On her first visit to India, she stayed at the ashrama for 10 months. Subsequently, she made a second trip, arriving several months before the Master's Mahanirvana in 1950. Her joy of being with the Master, walking amidst a crowd of devotees directly behind him, is captured in the archival films. She kept in touch with the ashrama from her California residence till her last days in the mid-1970s. Crisis in life. A few years ago, I reached a crisis in my life. After years of anguish and sleepless nights, I was in a critical condition. When things seemed darkest, I had an unusual feeling that I should go away. I discussed it with my twin, Betty, and decided to take a trip around the world. After making the reservation, I became very ill and had to cancel it. One obstacle after another presented itself until it seemed as though I were not to go, and being so ill, I did not care if I went or not. Still, there always seemed to be something urging me to go, and my sister also felt that I should. After a few weeks of rest, I felt better and made reservations on another ship that was to sail a month later. But when the time arrived for sailing, I was still not able to leave my bed. The boat sailed from San Francisco through the Panama Canal, reaching New Orleans a month later. The steamship agent suggested my going there by train, which takes 3 days instead of 1 month, hoping I would feel better in the meantime. I had a very trying trip to New Orleans, and upon arriving, I collapsed and was taken to a Christian Science practitioner's home, where they put me to bed and took care of me. They thought I was in no condition to take a long trip, but I felt as though I must. I could not turn back. Fortunately, the boat was 2 weeks late. Otherwise, I would not have been able to sail. The steamship agent said, "You do not look very well. If the captain sees you, I am afraid he will not take you, as we do not carry a physician." However, finally he agreed to my going, but said, "Do not let the captain see you until we are out at sea." Though outward conditions were very dark, I went, knowing that God would take care of me. I felt as though I were led, and if I had not followed that inner voice which prompted me, I would never have had the blessed experience of finding the happiest part of my life in the presence of Bhagavan Sri Ramana. I want to find myself. The doctor who vaccinated me before I left knew that I was not well. He said, "Why are you taking the trip?" I replied, "I want to find myself. I was seeking something I had not found, peace." Somehow, my mind would always turn to India, especially during those days when I was in bed. We sailed from New Orleans to Cape Town, South Africa, a 3 weeks trip without a stop. Providence was with me again, for had the boat stopped, I believe I would have returned home. But God had other plans for me. I was torn between conflicting emotions and became worse again. My prayers seemed of no avail. I would have the most dreadful nightmares and wake up crying. I could not bear it any longer. So I sent a radiogram to the doctor. Need help in every way, especially at night. Cold, much worse. Filled with fear. Will write from Cape Town. I don't know what I was afraid of, but my mind was never at peace. I felt better for a while, but found it necessary to send a second cable. Therefore, had the boat stopped on its way to Cape Town, I should have disembarked and returned home. But Providence has always the upper hand. When we reached Cape Town, I felt much better. But as I did not like that ship, I disembarked at Durban, South Africa, where I spent 1 month waiting for another boat. Arriving in India. As we approached India, I decided to get off at Madras instead of going on to Calcutta, where the ship would be in dry dock for 2 weeks. The people on board gave all sorts of reasons why I should not get off at Madras. It was very difficult to leave them. Nevertheless, I did. So, they took me to the Connemara Hotel, saying it was not safe to stop at a second-rate hotel because of the food, etc. After my friends had gone, I felt lost and went to my room and, with tears in my eyes, prayed for guidance. All night, the heat was intense. So, the next morning, I asked the proprietor if he could suggest a cooler place. He said the hill station Kodaikanal was lovely and cool. So I made my plans to leave Madras immediately. Motoring there, I found it to be a charming place. The very first day, I met two Hindu brothers and I asked them if they knew any seers. I have no explanation to offer as to why I put that question. I anticipated nothing. They said they knew one at Thiruvannamalai, Sri Ramana Maharshi. People come from far and near to see him. He left home, they said, when he was 12 years old and never went to school. He is the greatest seer in India. It is difficult to find one that is genuine. This is what they told me about Bhagavan. Of course, these facts are not accurate. I decided to leave for Thiruvannamalai the next day. My friends helped me in every way, told me to buy some bedding, etc., but did not tell me that it was the custom to take a gift to the holy man. In fact, I knew nothing about life at an ashram. When I left Madras, I had no idea I would have this experience, but was eager to go and felt as though something momentous was about to happen. When I told the guests in the hotel my plans, they said it was not safe to go alone as the place, the ashram, was in a jungle and I would not endure the hardships and humidity as I had been in India only a few days and was not acclimatized. An English official and his wife insisted upon getting all the details in order to keep track of me. I bought a ticket for Madura, as my friends told me to see the temples there, but I decided not to go to Madura as I was anxious to reach my destination. So I left the car at Kodaikanal Road and took the train for Thiruvannamalai at the ashram. After arriving there, I engaged a bullock cart to take me to the ashram, where I was greeted by some of the inmates, including Niranjananda Swami, brother of Sri Bhagavan. They told me that Sri Bhagavan was on the hill, but would be in the hall shortly, and graciously invited me to have my breakfast. My heart throbbed with expectation as I was taken to the hall. As I entered it, I felt the atmosphere was filled with Sri Bhagavan's purity and blessedness. One feels a breath of the divine in the sage's presence. He was sitting on a couch, clad only in a loincloth, surrounded by his devotees. When he smiled, it was as though the gates of heaven were thrown open. I have never seen eyes more alight with divine illumination. They shine like stars. He greeted me very tenderly and made some inquiries about me, which put me at ease. His look of love and compassion was a benediction that went straight to my heart. I was immediately drawn to him. His greatness and kindness is all-embracing. One feels such an uplifting influence in his saintly presence and cannot help but sense his extraordinary spirituality. It is not necessary for him to talk. His silent influence of love and light is more potent than words could ever be. I did not know what manner of man I expected to find, but once I saw him, I said to myself, surely there is no one like Sri Bhagavan. I do not think there is another like him on earth today. To see him is to love him. After spending the morning with him, I had lunch at 11 o'clock and rested until 2 p.m. Then I returned to the hall. As I looked upon Sri Bhagavan's serene face and into his eyes, which beamed with mercy, my soul was stirred. I knew how much I needed him while he looked straight into my heart. Everyone who comes to him is blessed. The inner peace, which is his, is radiated to all. A beautiful sight are the little children kneeling before the master as he blesses them and smiles so tenderly, sometimes taking one in his arms, reminding me of the painting, Christ blessing the children. Later, I walked around the grounds, talked to the devotees. At 7 o'clock, I had a light meal. Then, I had the opportunity to say just a few words to Sri Bhagavan about my journey. Sometime later, I went to the traveler's bungalow, as ladies are not allowed to stay in the ashram at night. I would like to say here that the one reason why I had been in such a run-down condition was that I had not slept well for years, although I had been taking medicine, which never gave me any relief. Although I said nothing to Sri Bhagavan about this, the amazing thing was that I slept soundly the first night and thereafter without taking any medicine, though I lacked the many comforts I had been accustomed to. I received the medicine of all medicines, the unfailing grace of the Lord, whose name is heart. I arose next morning feeling refreshed, as though I were born anew. Soon after, one afternoon, as I was standing by the gate, Sri Bhagavan stopped while on his way to the hillside and asked me if I had more peace. His loving solicitude made me feel quite at home, and when he smiled, my joy knew no bounds. During those sacred hours with the Master, I unconsciously absorbed the truth which he embodies. It filled all my being. My love blossomed into deep devotion, and I was filled with ineffable peace. The things which seemed so vital before were no longer of any importance. I could see things in their correct perspective. The heartaches of yesterday and thoughts of tomorrow faded into oblivion. Here in the ashram, far away from the noise and confusion of the busy highways, silence reigns. It is broken only by the bleating of the sheep and goats and the songs of the birds and the shepherd's song as he takes his flocks home to rest. Time seems to stand still in this peaceful, sacred retreat amidst the beauties of nature. with its lovely flower gardens and beautiful pools, which are surrounded by gnarled oak-like trees that greet you like old friends. It is so primitive, but therein lies its charm. It is truly the Holy Land. The air is permeated with His peace and love. Looking upon eternal Arunachala, the hill of light, one is filled with awe and is overwhelmed by a great spiritual power. Everything is vibrant and speaks to us in silence. On full moon night, it is especially inspiring to go around the hill. In this deep silence and quietude, one readily hears the voice of God. In the inspiring words of the Master, from the five hymns to Arunachala, one would convey
by silence
thy transcendent state. Thou standest as a hill shining from heaven to earth. One may also say with the psalmist, be still and know that I am God. These were among the first words spoken to me by Sri Bhagavan and the last ones before I left for America. I had always loved to meditate upon them, but now they seemed to take on a new meaning and filled my heart with bliss. I had been at the ashram for 2 months, then made arrangements to sail 1 month later. I wanted to know more about India before going home, so I reluctantly made plans to leave the place. I had grown to love it and was very sad during those last days. Bhagavan said, I will always be with you wherever you go. When the last day arrived, I could not stop crying. Therefore, I did not go to the hall, but sat by the pool. In the afternoon, when I sat before Bhagavan, he smiled and said, she has been crying all day. She does not want to leave me. He was so sweet and tender. Later, I went to him for his blessing. The pain of parting was almost more than I could bear. With tears in my eyes, I knelt in deepest reverence and devotion before my beloved Master. May He always be my Father, Mother, and God, and may I always be His child, and whatever I do, may it be in His name. I then said goodbye to the devotees who had been so kind to me. As I drove to the station in the little cart, my heart grew heavy because I was leaving my Bhagavan, but I had so very much to be thankful for, having had the privilege of spending 2 months in His presence and been blessed beyond measure. Indeed, I was not the same person who had come to Him 2 months earlier. When I reached Madras, I wanted to return to Bhagavan. I really did not want to tour India. Nevertheless, I went from Madras to Srinagar in Kashmir, then to Calcutta, wherefrom I expected to sail for America. I had a pleasant trip, stopped at many interesting places along the way, and was led to many people who were helpful and kind. What I would like to bring out is the way in which I was guided and protected. I had some blessed experience, also two breathtaking ones on the train, and on one occasion I narrowly escaped death. It was the hottest season of the year, yet I felt no ill effects. A physician who was stopping at the same hotel in Agra said, it was miraculous the way I travelled in the heat. He had seen strong Hindus drop like flies into the heat, which did not seem to bother me. I could hear Bhagavan's words, I will always be with you wherever you go. His dear face was always before me, no matter what I was doing. His presence filled all my heart. My eyes were filled with tears many times as I thought of returning to America without seeing him again. One day, I seemed to hear him say, come back to me again. During the time I was separated from the Master, my love and faith had deepened, and I decided to to return to him as soon as possible. Continued in the September-October issue.